We're gonna swim back and run in the corner sun. We're gonna swim back and run in the corner sun. It's breakfast with Bob. It's breakfast with Bob.
Poncho Man, thank you so much, Poncho Man, for bringing us on. Appreciate everybody joining us. This is Breakfast with Bob. My name is Bob Babbitt. The Not Quite Kona edition. We are brought to you by Hoka One One by Credo Tri, Four Seasons Hualalai, Challenge Daytona, Form Goggles, Canyon Bikes, Normatec, Amp Human, VeloFix, UCAN, and our Challenged Athletes Foundation. Our next guest, 2012 Olympian and 2019 Ironman World Champion, Annie Hogg, joins us. Annie, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thank you very much.
Always so much fun to chat with you. So you come off the Olympics 2012, and from 2007 to 2010, 19 ITU races, 14 top tens. Coming off the Olympics was the goal. Hey, I want to go to Rio, and I was 11th this time. Next time I want a medal.
Yeah, big dreams are big, but the reality is sometimes different. So I tried my very best, but on the Olympics, I didn't have the day I wished for. So yeah, it was not a very happy day. But I mean, it made me like think about stuff and make new decisions. And now I'm a world champion in Ironman. So you never know what it was good for. So.
I mean, if someone had told you around that time, because you had won the grand final in 2012, you took second in WTS standings. You're simply one of the best at that distance. If someone told you you're going to be moving to Ironman distance and you're going to become world champion, what would you have said?
You're crazy. I would never do this stuff. It's so unbelievable long distance. And I was so into ITU and I so loved the distance and the speed. And yeah, I couldn't see myself doing that, to be honest. Maybe a 70.3, but not an Ironman. So I was completely into ITU and I loved it.
So then you get a stress fracture, 2014, in your hip. And
2017 as well.
Oh, again. Yeah. So when you got the first one, did you have thoughts of, I don't know if I can do this sport anymore, that it might be time to go do something else?
I mean, I had so many. I mean, I had four stress fracture actually in my hips and in my lower limb as well. So, I mean, I have a rough preparation through my whole career. I mean, I always had these up and downs, and the older I get, the more relaxed I am, because I think, I mean, if you don't get injured, maybe you don't train to your absolute limit, and I rather be on my absolute limit and risk as a injury than I'm not 100%. So, I mean, we are like training on the edge, and of course, I try my best to avoid injuries. But sometimes you can't. And what I learned is, if you have this little voice inside you who tells you, I can still do it, I can come back, then you can do things maybe a doctor say it wouldn't be possible. But if you have a strong belief inside yourself, then everything is possible, I think. And I proved it every time and I came back. And I think it's just a matter of motivation. How willing are you to really dig deep and work through the bad patches and get back again?
So I don't think most physical therapists or doctors would say, okay, I'm getting stress fractures at the Olympic distance. So the way to solve that will be to go to 70.3 and full Ironman and run marathons off the bike.
I mean, yeah, doch, because the speed is just slower and the impact is not so high anymore. So that's better for the bones, to be honest.
So actually, you have found yourself maybe a little healthier moving to longer distance?
Yeah, I mean, my physiotherapy style changed a bit as well. I have Sabrina on my side, who is treating me every day, so that makes a bit difference. So, I mean, I learned from my mistakes, and I try to get better and better. And yeah, so I thought the older I get, the more physio I need to train on that level. So it really helped me. But I mean, injuries come. It's natural. It's part of high performance sport. And yeah, I do my best not to get it.
Yeah, and so right away in 70.3, I mean, you won Lanzarote, you won Dubai, you won Oceanside. You were having really good success at that 70.3 distance. Did you have a feel, though, that, you know what, maybe I do even better if I go longer?
I always have a feeling in me which say I can do better and I can do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it, because if I don't believe I can do it, I wouldn't have motivation for that. And I always aim for the best possible. And yeah, I had this little voice inside me and I thought, oh, it's I don't know when it happens, because the transition was quite hard to go from ITU to long course, because I was not used to that bike stuff and I'm a very tiny and skinny athlete, so I don't have the watts, the big watts, and I thought it would take a little bit longer, but I mean, obviously we train quite much as ITU athletes as well, so the volume hasn't changed a lot, just the bike stuff has changed a bit, but the swim and the run pretty much stays the same like ITU.
So yeah, what's fascinating, ITU bike racing is more a criterium type of format, right? Where you're out of the saddle and accelerating, where when you're riding something like the Kona, it's steady state. You want to keep yourself as constant as possible. How hard was that for you to adapt from one to the other?
It was really hard, especially the new bike position was a really, really challenge, to be honest.
Yeah.
To be able to sit for so long on a saddle, it was a really, really painful. But I mean, it's a process, you know, and you never, at the end, you're always improving, and it doesn't stop. So I'm still trying to improve and getting better. But I mean, you need patience, and you need the kilometers in your legs, and you have to build it up slowly, because I mean, the body needs to adapt to that. And I think I can do better, and I try every day my best, and let's see what's happened next year.
Exactly. When did you start to feel that, okay, the cycling's coming along, that I feel like I'm able to stay with the other women during the bike ride and I'm not losing ground?
I don't have that feeling, to be honest.
You don't have it yet.
I mean, if I see Lucy or Daniela, who are like one head taller than me and much stronger, I mean, they are really tough cyclists. And I mean, I can't do what I can. So I always hope that I be not too far away after the bike ride and I can, can have a good run after that. But I mean, you never know, because Ironman is so long. I always think I'm not prepared for that. But on the day, you're a different person. You're on the start line and then you change and you put on your superhero costume and then off it goes, you know?
Yes, you do. You put on your superhero costume. I love that. And so for someone like you on the bike, sometimes you don't even want to know, right? When people say, oh, you're 3 minutes back. Oh, you're 4 minutes back. You don't really want to keep hearing people from the side telling you how far back you are and how much ahead they're getting.
Yeah, if it would stay constantly, then it's okay. But everyone stops, I think, with another watch. And on the run, I heard literally 30 different times. And then I was really confused. So, I mean, I like to know where I am in the race and how the race develops to see where I am. But it must be true, you know?
Right. So the first time you come to Kona, 2018, and you get third place, run your way onto the podium the first time out. What did you learn from that experience?
I mean, it was my second Ironman at all, and my first one was a really, really horrible experience in Frankfurt. I almost died on the run. So I wanted to just have an Ironman that I don't have to stop on the run. So I was very, very conservative, and I just wanted to listen to myself. I wanted to have a good swim, to be in a pack, and then just stay in the pack, save as much energy as possible. That was the goal. And then have a very consistent conservative marathon and get through without stopping. That was my goal, and it worked quite well. So yeah, that was what I'm learning from Frankfurt, because I completely blew up after 10Ks, and it was just the walk of death.
Oh, that is the worst, when you die early in the marathon and you still got 20 miles to go.
Yeah, I couldn't even count how much 42Ks minus 10Ks is. I was so damaged from the bike. It was like crazy. But it was a great experience, and it made me humble and, you know, have a little bit more respect of the distance. And I think that's a good thing. It was a good learning experience.
So were you a little more conservative in the run that first time out when you got third?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was really, really conservative. I mean, I wanted to run from the first to the last K very consistent, even with no up and downs, because, I mean, you can't really plan it, but I was aiming to do that. I was very, very conservative. And yeah, maybe that was good, because, I mean, the conditions in Hawaii are anyway different than anywhere else in the world. So you need to be very conservative, and you can't allow yourself to do any mistakes, because then it's game over. So, right. You really need to do it, to get every nutrition right, and don't make any mistakes. And yeah.
Well, and you had the fastest bike split, run split of the day, running 2:55. So what did you were at the biggest stage in our sport? There's two of them, the Olympics, Olympic triathlon, Ironman World Championship. How do you compare the two of those? Since you're one, there's not that many people who've been to both.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you can't really compare. It's just complete two different kind of sports and two different like races. I mean, for me personally, the Olympics are always maybe it's because I didn't achieve my goal. So things you haven't achieved is always a little bit, more desirable, you know, right. And it has more magic than something you achieved. So the Olympics is, the dream of every sportsman. And it's just every 4 years, and it's so damn hard to even qualify. And yeah, I didn't make my dream come true. So it always be in my mind, and it's always, a big desire.
But I mean, it's funny, because for a lot of people, winning the Ironman has meant more to their careers than winning an Olympic gold medal. Olympic gold medal is great. Winning the Ironman is great. But sometimes, you know, with more sponsors, et cetera, there's maybe more awareness. Maybe because it's every year too, makes a difference.
I mean, the attention from the media is much bigger, but I don't do it for the attention, you know. I do it for my dreams. I have dreams, and I want my dreams to become true. And I mean, I didn't achieve that on the Olympic distance, and it's always like a little bit a mark in my career. And yeah, so I'm always a little bit sad about that.
Going into 2019 in Kona, everybody's talking, okay, it's going to be the third time in a row. It's Daniela Ryf going for her fifth Ironman World Championship title, third year in a row, her and Lucy Charles, who's taken second the first two times. And you were third the year before, but really most of the discussion was Lucy and Daniela. Knowing you a little bit, I bet you were fine with that. Let them talk about those guys and let me sort of mind my own business, and I'll see you on race day.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, I didn't know about my form, to be honest, because I was half a year injured. I had a tear in my plantar fascia, and once I was back, I broke my tibia. I had a stress fracture in my tibia. So my preparation was really, really awful. So I wasn't able to run for half a year in the preparation. Right. And I had to do Ironman Copenhagen. It was the last possible chance to even qualify. And I was just 2 weeks into running. My longest run was one time I ran 50 minutes on a row. So I didn't even know if I make it through the marathon or if I had to stop and walk the marathon. So I didn't have a lot of expectations, to be honest. And maybe that was maybe the key, because I didn't put myself too much under pressure. I thought I had a good swim form and a good bike form, but I didn't know at all about my running. And I just wanted to go out and give my very best on the day and see what happens. So I didn't have expectations. So that was maybe it was a good thing.
Well, and the fact that you were maybe, you know, the fact that you were way undertrained on the run, you certainly were healthy for the run, right?
Yeah.
Probably the first.
Healthy, but not very fit. But obviously, you can compensate it with, I mean, I was fit in the other disciplines, and maybe you can compensate it because it's, you don't have to run that high speed like you would have to do on an ITU. So you just need to be super fit. And I was fit, but I was not running specific fit. But obviously, it's okay. You can get through it.
Okay. So you get off the bike, and then about, you know, halfway through the marathon, were you surprising yourself all of a sudden? Wait a second. There's a chance I'm going to go into the lead here at the Ironman World Championship.
I really tried to completely switch my head off because, I mean, I did 3 Ironmans before, and in every marathon, at some stage, the man with the hammer, we call it in Germany, came. So I thought the marathon is over after 42.195 Ks. So until then, everything can happen. And I saw Sarah True last year, and I felt awful on the last K in 2018. I was feeling very well until 41 K, but the last K I thought I would pass out. So I was really, really concentrated and focused, and I didn't care who I overtake or what place I am. I was just concentrated not to make any mistakes. I was really conscious to get all my nutrition right, to feel always good, to have a good posture, to like do everything right and see what the day holds for me. And I tried to hold it together as long as I possibly could and try not to think about winning, about podium, about anything, because it just keeps the focus of what you have to do in the moment. And yeah, Ironman is a beast, and it's over after the finish line.
When you're coming down Lee Drive and you realize you're going to win this thing, knowing where you were with the stress fracture and not running for so long, and what was going through your head?
Yeah, impossible things can happen. I mean, that's Ironman. I mean, I don't think in any other sport that would work, but in Ironman, I think it's 50% physical fitness and 50% mental fitness. And maybe it was good that I was half a year injured. I didn't have any pressures of racing. So my head was very fresh, and I was willing to give it all on that day. And maybe that's a factor as well. I don't know. But it was unbelievable because I didn't think I can do it. But I mean, like Ironman said, impossible is nothing. So I had a perfect day. I just had a perfect day.
How did winning that race change your life, or did it?
I mean, the attention was crazy, because I think the combination of me as a woman winning the first time for Germany, and Jan won it in a new record, and we have both the same coach, it was like a big story to tell, you know, and the attention was really high in Germany. But I mean, I live very like in my training bubble here in Saarbrücken, so I took a few chances to do some nice events, but I didn't take anything, obviously, because I still have goals and I still want to be good in my sport, and I don't want to change too much because I love my life and I still love how it is. So and then anyway, Corona came and all my events were anyway cancelled, so it had a sharp break, and now I can focus again on my training. So I think everything has something good as well. So I really enjoyed it, to get some really great experiences, really new people. I met really crazy new people, and it was a great experience. But at the end of the day, I'm still a sportsman, and I love doing sports, and I love my life, and I don't want to change anything.
What was the coolest experience from all this? Some cool award ceremony you went to, or somebody you met who you never thought you'd meet?
I mean, a very cool thing was to get second at the Sportsman of the Year in Germany. So that's a really, really big thing in Germany, to get, like, as a triathlete in second place. Jan gets second as well. Like, but that was a really, really cool event, and I'm really proud of that. And yeah, it was just a nice evening.
When you look back on your career, what do you look at as the toughest moment that you had to deal with as an athlete?
it's always the coming back after injuries, or was a really hard time. I was in 2013 where I was heading, I mean, I was ranked number one in the world and everyone expected me after the second place that I will win the ITU World Championships. And in the final, I was ranked number one and then I had a terrible swim and I finally managed to get third. But I mean, the press was just relentless on me. So it was really horrible and I was really, really depressed. And it was a really hard time to get back and fight again. And yeah. I mean, but you get stronger every time you stand up again after a defeat or after disappointment. It makes you stronger and makes you maybe a little bit relaxed as well, that you just do it for yourself and not to like do everyone else a favor. It's just you and your little team and yeah, stand up and do it better the next time.
What's your happiest memory?
Oh, there are great memories. I mean, obviously winning Kona is one of the big highlights in my career, but also winning Hamburg, it is kind of a home race for me, and winning in front of a 250,000 man crowd is just amazing, and do it twice. I mean, I won on the Saturday this individual race and then with a relay on the day after the World Championship. So it was the weekend of my life and definitely something I will never forget.
So, like you said, you've overcome a lot of different setbacks, a lot of different injuries. What is it about you that's helped to make you a champion? What do you think it is that you have that allows you to overcome these obstacles and become a champion?
I don't know. I think I had a lot of hope in me. And I always think it's not the end. I decide when it's the end and not my injuries. So I'm always willing to fight. I think that's it. And try my best.
And so this next year, hopefully we'll get 2020 behind us. We get into 2021 and you and I will be sitting at Hugo's, hopefully sitting at Four Seasons and chatting again.
Yeah, I need the chocolate again. I love this chocolate.
Yes.
That's my biggest motivation anyway.
How special was that cake from Four Seasons?
Yeah, it was amazing. That was ridiculous amazing. I think I put on maybe 3 kilograms after eating that, but it was okay.
That is cool. So now you're will you stay at the training base you're at now? Any races between now and the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I will run a 10K race on the weekend in Berlin. I have like an invitational race just for the track and field athletes. So I will try to annoy the German track and field runners a bit and see what I can do on a 10K. And then maybe I do a middle distance race in France and maybe the PTO in Daytona, hopefully.
Oh, well, we will be in Daytona. We will definitely see you in Daytona. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Annie Hogg, you are the best. Always so much fun to chat with you. I love your personality. And I just love that your transformation from Olympic distance to Ironman world champion to, and the other side of you is, it seems to me that you're so comfortable in your own skin. When athletes reach out to you, when young girls reach out to you, does that make you feel good knowing that you're being a role model for that next generation?
I don't know if I'm a role model. I don't feel like a role model. I mean, I'm just like I am and I love my sport and I love to challenge myself and I always try to be the best I can be. And if others see that as an inspiration, I'm very happy about that. But it's just my nature, I think.
Annie. Love it. Annie, thank you so much for taking time and chatting, and hopefully we'll see you soon at a real race rather than some virtual thing.
Yeah, I hope so as well. Thank you very much for having me.
Annie Hogg has been our guest, 2019 Ironman World Champion. Thank you so much, Annie.
Thank you.